to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings. This is the man you committed your life to, and I'm still trying to reconcile with you. It's been interesting. I've thought about it, you know, over the last many months, especially. Maybe it's been a year, because last summer, I really started to push myself. You know, a year ago, we did the hike up Big Frog Mountain, which, when we got done with that, you know, it's hard. 11-mile trip and then a half mile up. So it was hard. And we're done. We stopped to get something to eat. And it was kind of like, oh, I was so stiff. It was ridiculous. But, if I were to do that today, I probably wouldn't be. Because I have made a concerted effort to eliminate some of the physical issues I've had. When I went through summer has often been a difficult time for me because I couldn't take the heat. And now I find it, when it was August and, well into the 90s, I was still making 10-mile walks. I did find that, I had to find my needs in particular is I found, that apparently what happens is you lose minerals. And so I found a little bottle of minerals, you know, mineral supplement. And I take that either before or after. And the massive cramping that I was getting doesn't occur. So apparently, you know, this is kind of like the argument for Gatorade and so forth, except instead of being in a flavored drink, it's the raw stuff. And by itself, it tastes pretty bad. So, I've done that, and issues with my legs, not being able to bend well, been taking magnesium, my legs are fine. So, you know, those are the two primary things. And, now 10, 15 mile hikes, which Lord willing, I'll be doing again tomorrow, it's commonplace. And I end up doing jumping jacks afterwards because I am far more physically able to do things than I ever have been. I think you would notice the difference in me. My arms are a lot stronger. My legs are massively stronger. And the endurance is tremendous. Why do I say all that? One of the issues that caused was there's the physical and then there's the mental. Because one of the things I noticed in this process is there was a fatigue problem, a mental fatigue. My ability to concentrate would wane after 10 hours in front of the computer in the day. And it was kind of like, seemed to be going downhill. Well, I think because of the changes in all the things I do physically, I have found that doing 12, 14-hour days continuously is not a problem. And I put in a lot of hours. And this has become important to me because, as I've mentioned, the idea of Psalm 90 that teaches us to number our your days. And I have kind of put in my mind that mental idea of the 70, you know, the King James Version, the 70 years, and saying, okay, I want to make sure I have a particular set of things done by the time I reach 70. So, you know, less than 6 years left. The list is huge. It's pretty much impossible. But I believe my physical improvements and my mental improvements, you know, mental stamina, improve the odds of some of these things getting done. And then I've also been conscious of what are the things that become more effective. And there's been a lot of things that I have observed. And part of the way I do this is I observe the events of the world. and try to, you know, because if you look at the events in the Bible, you can see, you know, one of the things I've become so fascinated with, there's so many things the Apostle Paul, his I'm speaking as a madman passage, he lists the things he's gone through, and I suggest the reason that's there is for we to understand we'll never have to get to that degree. Samson being the strongest man ever? We're not going to be like him. Or Solomon being the wisest man ever? We're not going to be like him. So we say, okay, here are the things that others have done. I don't have to go through that. But they are a model for me. And one of the models that I find rather important and hopeful for me, of course, is the model of Joseph in Egypt. Because his family rejected him, cast him off, and then he was used to restore his family. And I hope in some form that something like that will happen. It's not that I want to bring wealth to my family, is I want to be the agent of reconciliation for my family, because I think that's vital. And it's not only vital between myself and various kids, and obviously my wife and Jim Cross, but it's also vital to act as an agent for any tensions that may exist between other family members. Because I have this sense and vague information that there are tensions. And if I can be an agent to mediate that, praise the Lord. And that's what I'll pursue. These are some of the things I'm pursuing. But again, one of the things I do is not only the biblical events, look at world events. And for example, there's even more news coming out today about the fraud behind the OPCW, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, who allegedly investigated the alleged Duma attack. And said, oh yeah, terrible bombs, chemical weapons, people died, and so forth. But the investigators that did it, not the institution itself, but the investigators that did it, said there was no chemical weapons attack, that people were gassed externally and then brought in as dead bodies to the place, that the canisters and so forth were not aerial dropped, but manually placed at the site. And the attack never occurred. And of course, the White Helmets and whatnot is a fraud organization in the first place. And they're the ones that grab kids and say, hey, come get some food, and brought them into the hospital and then hosed them down. Nobody was sick. Nobody died. They brought dead bodies in, but nobody died. So there's a lot of fraud. The investigators said, hey, there's fraud here. But the organization itself said, no. This was a terrible attack. They lied. And of course, some of the documents come out today that the leaders of the institution told the investigators, don't expose this or it's going to cost you. And I find that model interesting. Jim Cross, I'm going to expose you all the more as a fraud, as someone who says I'm a follower of Christ, but yields more to the Talmud than the Bible. You're an unloving coward. But just like me, as a flawed man, grace is available. And grace needs to be offered between us. I'm offering it to you. I ask that you take it and offer a complimentary version in return. I want to do the same with my kids, and especially my wife. Because, as I've said over and over again, the person that loves you is not your dad, it's me. I'm the one pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone else, you know, again, I was reminded so much yesterday. And yes, I know it's an anecdotal piece of evidence, but obviously it sits in my mind, because Chris Bitterman has, you know, he shut the door. He said, no, I don't want to talk to you. I mean, I have it in writing. And he's refused dialogue. He refuses reconciliation, you know, just like Jim Cross. But that one comment of his about driving by the Center for Drug Rehabilitation and praying for those people, wanting to get them into church. That is a heartless coward. A loving man would go in. I did yesterday. That's the difference between a person who matures as a follower of Christ and the person who matures as a man driven to be following his institution. Which gets us obviously to the idea, the Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud. And I'm going to pursue that. Because every time I've been able to challenge somebody on that, no one has been able to respond, oh, well, there's this. No, I'm sorry. I refute it at all from Scripture. Give it a try. Go in your corner and say, oh, we go in our corner and we all agree that he's wrong. But don't take the challenge. That, again, is the act of a coward, an unloving coward. The challenge is before you. To be obedient to Christ, or simply say you don't believe him. And obviously, I know some of my kids don't. Simply say, you don't believe him. My allegiance is to the institution. I don't care about the Lord. For me, my allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I seek to follow him as a flawed man, seeking his mercy and seeking reconciliation with others. It's a wonderful thing, and I'm going to pursue it all the more. Again, my strength is improved physically. My mental abilities, my mental stamina has improved radically. And I'm going to use whatever time the Lord has that he's given me to end my days, to use it in pursuing obedience to him. And the fundamental command of the Lord, you might not be familiar with this, the fundamental command of the Lord, Deuteronomy 6, Leviticus 19, love the Lord, love your neighbor. And also a way to apply that, the love your neighbor aspect, very intimately, is Ephesians 5:25. Because the marriage is a reflection of the relationship between Christ and his elect. It's been talked about for ages. I believe it. And therefore, if I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church, I'm supposed to pursue reconciliation with her and take the weight, whatever I can, of her sin. I constantly ask the Lord to put the weight of my wife's sin on me because I'm in love with her. And I'm trying to reflect Christ to her. And I'm going to seek reconciliation. Yes, it's got ridiculously long. Dorothy Jane, I'm intensely in love with you. And I want you back.